Hey guys, this is Alex.
And this is Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow by Tom King, Bilquis Evely, and Mateus Lopez. Let's go. Guess what I'm doing right now, Drew? Reading comic books.
Yes.
Nobody will ever know but me and you.
Until we put video back in the picture again.
That's right. Which coming soon.
To a device near you.
We're going to be recording ourselves again. Yay.
Because we've entered the shorts game.
Yeah.
And, you know, got some subs over on the YouTubes and other places might... And those of you who were wondering, like, why haven't we released any videos for a while? Yeah, it just things got complicated and we fell out of the groove. So we were like, let's just get audio
it
going.
It is so
first.
Much work to add video to
so
a
much
podcast.
Data to keep track
yes,
of.
Yes. I mean, it's truly gigabytes of video just for one camera angle if we do it that way. Mm-hmm. And even if we did a combined camera angle, it would still be gigabytes of data. And then syncing that up in post and doing live switching sometimes. And then we liked it. If we're going to do the video, add the comic book panels, which is more dynamic and interesting for you guys. But we were doing that and then getting like all of our listens were just that. They were listens and it was like two or three people would watch.
I think there's some videos that we release that still have zero views.
Yeah. And that's hours of work for a little payoff right now. It's not that back catalog won't be viewed eventually, but we're looking at getting back into it and kind of streamlining that process. So hopefully... that'll be in the near future.
Yep. So, what you been reading, yo?
I haven't been reading squat.
That's good.
For the first time in a long time, my job has been like crazy busy. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the time of year for me where like a bunch of clients are like have new stuff and they all want videos and they all want quick turnarounds. So I've been like doing 12-hour days. The last couple of weeks, it's been
nice.
Pretty nuts editing into the wee hours of the morning. I went and saw Ant-Man, which you haven't seen yet.
For the first time in a couple of years, I wasn't at an opening night showing of an MCU film because last week, one of the reasons we didn't get an episode out on Tuesday was we just got backed up with things. Last week on opening night, I was down at the Arkansas Allstate clinic because as if you've been listening at all, you know, I'm a composer and I write a lot for like concert band, marching band, percussion ensemble, stuff like that. And there's a couple conventions that band directors and musicians go to every year. And I go down there to have a booth, remind people I exist, see if anybody is interested in commissions. And I got a few things in the works.
Nice.
So plus I was also having a piece performed this year by one of the junior high honor bands. And that went really well. But because of that, I was down in Hot Springs on Thursday night while Alex was in the comfort of the IMAX lounge watching the film. And I've done my best to avoid spoilers, but happy, happy day. I'm seeing it tonight. We're seeing it tonight.
Have you had something spoiled yet?
If you're on our...
Possible spoiler warning.
Quick Discord plug. If you want to chat with us, check the show notes. There's a link to our Discord. And last night, Alex... texted me, so I'm like, do not check the Discord. There's a small spoiler, not a huge thing. And I mean,
it was truly small. Shout outs to Rodney.
Yeah. I mean, it gave me text.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any pictures or anything. So I haven't clicked into that. And I saw one random blip of a trailer because normally whenever I see the trailers, I just cover my eyes
and scream.
I saw something. I was like, well, I've never seen those things before. And I saw a variant YouTube explainer video, variant comics, and I'm wondering if that's going to give me something, and I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But what is it? A couple hours, you know, 7 o'clock tonight, we'll be watching it.
So. Oh, yeah. I'm going back to see it for a second sampling. Yeah. I was just going to stare at Drew's face the entire time and see if he reacts. It'd be nice. I'm curious to see. I've already ranked it.
Oh, really?
On the two-man rank the MCU vibes. So curious to see where it ends up for you. What about you? What you been reading, yo?
I've been reading Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow.
I guess I should have said that as well.
I've been reading some some novels and stuff like that. But I've been consuming other nerd-based media recently. I've come back, because I can't remember if I talked about this in the last episode or not, but I finally watched Netflix, The Sandman on Netflix, which is a DC property. And it was talking about characters from Lucifer.
Right.
Which, I had started watching that TV show, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to go back to that. I'm so glad I did. I'm on like the third season, and Tom Welling comes in, who was Superman in Smallville. So he's on there anyway. So I've been rewatching, or not rewatching, but I've been watching Lucifer and enjoying that. And also, there's been a lot of drama in the tabletop role-playing community recently with
I've heard about this.
The thing called the OGL, a gaming license, and Wizards of the Coast, which owns Dungeons & Dragons, like wanting to make it possible for them to make more money off of things and making some questionable choices. Anyway, it's caused a lot of the D&D community to reach out and like try to find some other game systems to play. And so I was looking through some things, and I came across one game system that I was really interested in called Tales from the Loop, which if you are listening and you have like Amazon Prime, you may recognize that was a TV show a year or so back based off of the artwork of a guy named Simon Stollenhag. It's like
interesting
the 80s that never was. It's like imagine back in the 80s we had access to like robots and all this crazy technology that we don't have now. But we had it back then. Anyway, Tales from the Loop, it's like about a town that was based, like, was existed on top of a, what's it called?
A cave.
Particle collider? What's the word I'm trying to think?
I mean, I knew what you were talking about when you said particle collider.
That's not the actual term. No. For whatever reason, it slipped my mind. But anyway, it's like that. And this whole, there's a whole RPG system based around it. It's called Tales from the Loop. And in my search to try to learn about it, I got on to, I searched some podcasts to try to find some actual plays. And I came across this one called Tales from the Group. And they're pretty young. I think they released their 9th or 10th episode today. And I was listening to it on the drive here. So anyway, if you're into like actual play podcasts and maybe some alternate Earths, check out Tales from the Loop. Also, find Tales from the Group anywhere you get your podcasts. It's four friends sitting around a table telling the story of, you know, not themselves, but telling the story of like a handful of kids running around discovering all these secrets of this company and the loop and everything.
Very cool.
Pretty interesting. So yeah, check it out. Tales from the Group. And if you like it, make sure to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts because they are young and they could really use they're at a point right now where you leaving those reviews would be huge for helping get them going. So
tell them the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast sent you.
Exactly. But yeah, it's an enjoyable. I like to listen to it while I'm running because typically my run takes me by some schools just because that's where I'm going. And I'm wondering like, imagine those little kids in there running around creating robots like they are in that Tales from the Group podcast.
That's funny.
But anyway, cool. Check it out.
Do you want to get into Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow?
Yes. First, though, I'm curious. If you're listening and you hear a... That's like air conditioner is a lot louder than I've ever noticed it before.
Oh, it is. I bet I can turn it off.
So if that's been happening and you notice, I'm sorry. I don't normally hear it.
I don't think.
There's a jet engine over us.
Fixed. It should be turning off momentarily. I apologize.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, not quite. I'm not psychic.
I thought you had it. This is an exciting one for us to cover. Superman.
Tell us
Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, not Superman.
Well, I was going to say, I actually have some copies of the book Superman, Man of Tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
They published that series back in the 90s, I think.
Right. So this is, aside from just being a book that one of my favorite, if not my favorite, comic book writers, Tom King, put out a year plus ago, not that long ago, this is being made into a movie for the new DC Universe that James Gunn and Peter Safran are coming out. And Tom King is on the writing team doing this. So this is kind of a big hype. A lot of energy has been kind of spent talking about this and what it could be, if it's going to be anything like the comic book. With, you got to imagine, I mean, if Tom King's involved on the writing process at all, that maybe they're going to stay true to some of, at least some of the story. And I had read, I think, the first three issues of this already. The first two or three, I couldn't remember. But I went through and was reading it like at a, with the lens of, okay, let's pretend I'm adapting this for a screenplay. And I think it works. Like, yeah.
It's definitely a different take on Supergirl than I would expect to
sure.
the entry.
Yeah.
So it's like assuming that you already know a little bit about her.
Sure.
So.
I will say, like, I guess relatively, it's like what I'm assuming is a more violent take on Supergirl.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think, like, what is this? It's got like an ages 13 plus rating. Mm-hmm. It's not like a DC Black Label where it's violent, violent. It's, but I mean, like, people get stabbed or shot in this and it shows it.
Yeah.
So there's your small warning, but I really don't think it's really any worse than the bulk of the stuff we've covered on the podcast.
Truth.
Yeah, a lot of excitement about this one. It's one of the projects I'm most looking forward to with the DCU with James Gunn. Just because Tom King is such a great storyteller, and even though I haven't finished this particular run, everything else when I finished Tom King, I'm like, dang it, that SOB, he did it again. You know, so super excited to see what comes out of this one. What did you think going into this?
Well, I mean, I knew nothing.
Yeah.
I just saw the cover and I was like, why does Supergirl have a sword?
Yeah.
And that's all I thought. Like, honestly, and then you open the book and you're just like, wait, what is happening? It takes a while before you even realize. Like, I was like, is this girl on the, that who's talking us through the story, is she going to turn into Supergirl?
Right.
Because
I think maybe it's an origin story in the beginning.
Yeah, but it's not. It's just dropping you in, presumably after Supergirl has existed for quite some time.
Sure.
Maybe we should give a quick 60-second catch up.
Go for it.
What are your thoughts on ketchup?
Tomato based, sometimes has sugar, sometimes doesn't. Definitely needs some salt.
Did you know that ketchup was originally made by it was fish?
I think I did know that, yeah, but I'm reminded.
Eventually, tomato ketchup.
Disturbed.
Yeah. So anyway, start the clock. I'm not actually going to be able to pull this off in 60 seconds. So Supergirl, originally, like, she actually grew up for a short time on the planet Krypton, and was sent off and got stuck, like sent off before the planet exploded, got like stuck in asteroids or something like that, and eventually made it to her planet, made it to Earth long after Clark Kent,
yes.
Kal-El. Her name is like Kara Zor-El. I don't know if that's like always the name. That's what it is according to many things.
Right.
But she makes it, and Superman has already like grown because she like she was in suspended animation whenever she was flying through the world, the outer space, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she lands. She gets to adopt the exact same powers as Superman, pretty much.
Yep.
And kind of exists sometimes helping him out, sometimes doing her own thing. But she there was a weird time where in DC where she was a shapeshifter.
Oh, right.
And like a clone or something like that. And I have some comics where she was like going out with Lex Luthor and or like his underling.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been time when she was like a legit, like when she was Supergirl, she was tall and blonde.
Right.
Or else she was Carol. Was it Carol? It wasn't Carol Danvers.
It's Marvel.
No, it was a name similar to that. I should have looked this up beforehand. It's a name that was so...
I'll gurgle it.
Yes. Just look up like...
Supergirl...
Yeah, shapeshifter alias or whatever.
Shapeshifter.
This gurgle break is brought to you by Backlog Busters, a YouTube channel that goes back in time. Not back... Well, sort of. Yeah, it's a time travel YouTube channel where a buddy of ours goes back to try out video games that he missed whenever he was a kid. And I've seen him play, like the most recent video was SSX Tricky.
Oh, yeah.
A snowboarding game that I got so good at, and I've retired from it twice. anyway, Justin goes through and like tries these games out, all different consoles to see.
Jared.
Did I say Justin?
Yeah.
Sorry.
He makes up his last name.
Sorry, Jared. I'm so... Excuse me.
Yeah.
Forgive me. Jared goes through and watches, plays these games, and then he basically gives you a rundown of the quality, the playability. Does it hold up in 2023.
Yeah. Is it worth busting out of your backlog if you have it, or seeking it out and finding it?
But yeah, check it out. He's a wonderful sponsor of our show now, trying to get some eyes on his stuff. So go check it out. He releases new episodes every other Monday.
I believe so, yeah. And he has like some deep cuts in there too. If you haven't listened to the previous one, there was this one called Unpacked or Unpacking. I always forget the name, but
I think it's Ing.
Super, super unique video game that when I first saw it, I was like, what is this? And then my wife and I have played through it like three times each at this point.
Yeah.
It's just an unexpected hit, but he kind of goes through and he has a very wide variety of genres he covers. So yeah, check out Backlog Busters on YouTube. And there'll be links in the description of the show notes.
Sweet.
What I found here during our Gurgle break is that it was Linda Lee Danvers.
Okay.
And her
Linda name, Danvers. Linda Danvers, that is right. Because I have those books. I have those comics. Yeah.
And then Matrix is when she was a shape-shifting, seems to be the alternate name that she had.
So I was close. I mean, there's a Danvers, and they kind of adopted. I think the reason I confused it is because on the CW Supergirl TV show, her name is Kara Danvers.
Right.
So Kara, Carol, very similar. But yeah, Linda Danvers. That's what it was in the 90s issues that I bought off the spinner rack whenever she was like a literal shapeshifter. She would either be Linda Danvers or Supergirl.
It looks like canonically she might still have some of those powers.
Okay.
Like psychokinetic shapeshifting and cloaking invisibility powers.
Neat.
So she's got some stuff that even Supes doesn't have.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, Supergirl, everybody's powerful as Superman, I really think, if she just cuts loose. And I haven't followed much of her recent activity, so I don't know what's going on, but anyway, so she's Kryptonian.
She's Superman's cousin?
Superman's cousin, yeah. And I think whenever she dropped down to Earth, they may have even adopted that for like Clark Kent. Like her persona on Earth, Linda Danvers or whoever she ends up being, might also pretend like she is his cousin. I've seen so many different television adaptations of Supergirl.
Right.
I get them all confused.
Cool. All right, let's get into issue one of Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. Again, this is by Tom King writing. Bilquis Evely did all of the art except for the colors, which were done by Mateus Lopez. And I believe Clayton Cowles did the letters for this one as well.
Nice. So I do have to say, I can't remember if I make a comment about it, but the art is great on
this.
I really dig it. Definitely worth checking out. If we're talking about this and you feel that the story sounds even the slightest bit interesting, I promise you it is only compounded by the art.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the story opens on an unknown world with an unknown person telling the story of her father's murder. Like, we don't even know what's going on. The narration, it's kind of the script. I got a kind of a Thor vibe, even from the way that they speak on this planet.
Yeah, if you read enough comics, you kind of learn that, like, anything that is looking like it's the letters are done on, like, pieces of paper. It's kind of like somebody maybe writing this down or kind of writing down some history.
Yep. And it is, I don't think this is a spoiler too early to say that it is obviously somebody looking back.
Yes.
So it's not like in the moment. It is like somebody looking back on their life or something.
Yeah.
Days, weeks, months, years later.
Writing a memoir maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, so this unknown person is telling the story of her father's murder, who is slain with a sword by a man named Clem. She
Krim,
tries.
Right?
Clem. Oh, did I say Clem? Yeah. I meant Krim. I think every time in my notes I put Clem.
That's funny.
So if I say Clem, you say
Krim. I say Clem, you say Krim. Clem, Krim.
Is it, hey, Clem Fandango. Does that mean anything to you?
No.
Toast of London. Matt Berry, he plays this voice actor, and he comes in to the studio all the time. And the guy on the other side of the glass, I can't remember Matt Berry's character's name. Uh-huh. But every time somebody talks, this dude that's behind the glass introduces himself and he's like, ah, so-and-so, this is Clem Fandango. And he's like, yes, I know who you are, Clem. But Clem Fandango, that's probably why I wrote that single time.
Clem Fandango. This is Krim,
Claimed
of the Yellow Hills.
Oh, it says Krim later. Maybe I just screwed it up the first time. So anyway, yes. She comes and finds this, her dad's body with the sword in it, and decides that she wants to convince her mother and her five brothers to seek vengeance. And basically, long story short, they're like, we don't want to shake things up. So she, which we learned her name is Ruth. Well, okay, I'm going to spell it, and then we're going to discuss how we want to pronounce it and probably say it different every time.
Right.
R-U-T-H-Y-E.
I'm guessing it meant Ruthie.
Ruthie.
Unless it's Ruthia, Ruthie, Ruthie.
Ruth. I don't
or
know.
Or just Ruth with a Y-E at the end.
It's a silent yay.
A silent yay. Yeah. I do like that.
I don't know which one it's going to be. So anyway.
We'll just have a nickname for her. It's Ruth.
Okay.
Quick for us to say.
Okay. So anyway, the family doesn't want to shake things up because that could bring negative impacts on the family. So Ruth goes on the road looking for someone to agree to kill Krim in exchange for the sword, which she makes a comment that it is a very nice make of sword.
Yeah, it was kind of strange for Krim to leave it behind when he killed her father.
So anyway, everybody she goes to says no until finally she goes to this bar. And I don't know if we ever get this dude's name. I just refer to him as a large beast of a man.
Yeah, he's pretty big.
Yeah. He listens, and finally he snatches the I'm getting ahead of myself. The deal is you kill Krim, then after that you can have this blade.
Yeah.
And this large beast of a man snatches the blade and basically says, "I'll take the sword now, and you can have my word that Krim will die." And she yells after, like, "That wasn't the deal." But then this dude just like smacks her hard.
Yeah.
And like the panel goes red and she falls, and he makes his way out. And a few moments later, this woman who's like sitting by a dog, drunk.
Obviously drunk.
Yeah. The guy happens to walk by her, and this girl, woman, she just snatches the sword out. And basically, eventually we learn that this is actually Supergirl. And she's come to this particular world because it has a red sun, which I did not go into in the 60-second catch-up because I'm that good, to celebrate her 21st birthday. So basically, long story short, Krypton had a red sun. Mm-hmm. And something about that, whenever Kryptonians get under a yellow sun, they get superpowers.
Just like the one on Earth.
Yes. So she came to this particular world because she's unknown here, and under the red sun, she can celebrate her 21st birthday by getting drunk.
Yes, and it'll actually affect her. If she was on Earth, she couldn't drink and actually get the effects of alcohol.
So anyway, after she snaps the sword, there's a fight between the big dude and Supergirl. And eventually, she is able to temporarily best him long enough for Supergirl and the girl to get away. Ruth, silent yay.
Yeah, it is a fight, but she kind of handles him pretty quickly. Yeah.
There is, by the way, there is one scene early on where the swords are drawn, and the beast of a man swipes across her chest, and you see the exposed S shield beneath. So anyway, but then the next page, we turn the page to see Supergirl waking up in her full outfit, you know, and still like hungover and everything under the red sun. You laughed. Were you going to say something?
No, I just know what's coming next.
Okay. The vomiting?
Yeah.
I wasn't even really going into it.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
Well, so there's just a moment where Ruth asks Supergirl basically like, she has this, okay, so if you've seen Teen Titans, this is the voice that in my head plays, and you know how Starfire talks? Mm-hmm. Very proper, very full length, eloquent sentences for simple things even.
Yeah.
So she says in this panel here is like Supergirl's like sitting up in bed and like leaning over a bucket. Like, "I am Ruth Mary Knoll, and I am witness to your skill and bravery. I would like to hire you to kill Krim of the Yellow Hills, the cheating King's Agent, who slew my father and left him in the dirt. Have you interest in such an assignment?" And then there's this panel of like Supergirl giving like a very knowing and like heartfelt, warm look, like, "Maybe I'm going to do this." And then she just throws her head into the bucket and starts yakking everywhere.
Oh, I hadn't even noticed, but the is it onomatopoeia, whatever?
She's just hurling.
Yeah, it's good.
Anyway, it was a nice little, you think it's going to be one thing in the top panel, and it's just her like holding in her vomit. Yeah.
Well, eventually she becomes sober enough to tell Ruth that she can't help her. She's like, "I only came here to celebrate my 21st birthday." But she needs to get back home to a world where she's a hero, and her number one rule is not to kill. And she gets into a little boat. I don't know if it's a lake or an ocean, probably just a lake. Mm-hmm. And starts paddling across, the last thing saying, "Don't kill people. It's bad."
Yeah.
And then she takes off and we have a little inner monologue moment with Ruth. And she's just like, you know, if I hadn't followed, things would have been very different, but I did. And it shows her like jumping in and swimming after her.
Yeah.
And eventually, catching up with her, paddling behind her and washing up on a shore to this strange contraption that she doesn't understand, which, you know, for us 21st century human beings reading this, we're like, oh, it's a spaceship.
We should say also the planet that Supergirl is on, it looks like less developed, right? Yeah. It looks like we're in a different time.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's just this planet has not reached the technologies of what Supergirl is used to.
Yeah. So anyway, Supergirl comes out of this metal contraption saying, look, you need to go. I've already primed the engines. When this thing takes off, it's going to kick and you can get hurt. And they argue, but before much can happen, an arrow is shot from nowhere and embeds itself into Supergirl's chest, right in the S-shield. And it is revealed at that point that Krim is the one that shot the arrow, and he's been brought there by the guy that Supergirl fought in the tavern the night before, who has apparently come up with a financial arrangement.
Yes.
So Krypto, the Superdog, which we've seen to this point, he jumps in whenever he sees Supergirl get shot, not knowing that he's under a red sun. Mm-hmm. So this could hurt him. And Krypto gets shot with arrows. And
right in the neck. It looks pretty bad.
Yeah, it looks bad. And he starts bleeding just like Supergirl. And Supergirl sees this and gets even angrier and like charges back into action, fighting the two men, knocking one of them out, the one from last night. And even though she gets peppered with more arrows, she still stands and fights. But
I will say this is like pretty gnarly right here. Yeah. Like she's like grabbing the edge of swords and it's cutting her. Mm-hmm. Because again, she's like just a really strong human at this point with great fighting skills. And probably still has powers, but like that invulnerable part seems to be gone right now. But she's like just red with rage after Krypto got shot.
But eventually Krim gets away because Supergirl's chasing after him, but she stops whenever Krypto's whimpering. Mm-hmm. And Krim runs onto the metal contraption for protection. It says probably just to find time to knock an arrow and shoot fire again. But the thing closes up around him and takes off, knocking Ruth, Supergirl, and Krypto back as the contraption takes off into the sky with Krim inside, leading Supergirl, Krypto, and Ruthie on the planet behind. And that's how this issue one ends.
Yes, so kind of a heavy end to the first issue, especially if you're a human being and you have some sort of feeling towards animals being hurt.
It's like, always hard whenever you see dogs
get Krypto injured. Krypto got shot with an arrow. We don't know if he's gone, but it was hard to see either way.
Yeah.
Let's go to issue two.
Yeah, this one will go by a lot quicker because honestly, the next three issues to me almost feel like montage scenes.
Sure.
Like they essentially could be of us getting to the next plot point.
Yeah.
But in the next issue, we're thrust into space on some sort of intergalactic space bus. Stopping at space buses or space bus stops along the way and. Mm-hmm. Meeting all kinds of life forms. Like, I don't know if it's ever explicitly said, is Ruth aware of aliens? Or is it just that she takes onto it very well?
Space travel.
Yeah.
And she just kind of takes things very matter of fact, I guess. She's like, well, this doesn't exist. I'm seeing this.
I mean, I get like the people of her planet are just very pragmatic. It's like things are as they are.
Right.
All right. Yeah. So, okay. The world is bigger than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will say that the aliens that we see are, it's really cool to see because most of them are pretty humanoid, but
they're, see this guy?
Yeah. Playing a trumpet. Mm-hmm. But they're all very different and it's not like any one, alien species is like recognizable as something from DC lore.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't seem like they're trying to sneak a bunch of deep cuts in here.
Yeah. So anyway, on the space bus, we have to deal with issues of personal space, alien grudges with Superman that are being fought out with Supergirl because of the S on her chest, which Supergirl deals with quickly. Right away, after dealing with a little Mos Eisley space battle, you know, like from Star Wars, my friend doesn't like you. Mm-hmm. I don't like you. It's not really that, but it's that type of vibe. Supergirl's walking away, and the bus captain or whatever reaches out to Supergirl for help because some sort of cosmic dragon is about to chomp down on the bus. And they make a comment like, you shouldn't be on this east side or west side or wherever it is. So like this giant spectral, not spectral, but cosmic dragon is, I don't know if we'll ever get a payoff for that or if it's just kind of like a little one-off, like, yep, things are weird. But Supergirl basically was like, look, I don't have my powers. We're not by a red sun. So she yells back at the passengers and asks for reds, which we turn out to be kind of like our narcotic version of red kryptonite, which for Kryptonians temporarily gives you your powers. But for humans, it's basically just, it's a drug.
It's like a hallucinogenic kind of thing.
So she flies out to fight the dragon Phoenix style, like X-Men Phoenix.
Yeah.
Like she's even has wings.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Because it does say that, the red wing, like the reds, it gives you things that don't always have. And also, like, that might be a deep cut for Kryptonian things because there were supposed to be, like, Kryptonian heroes of lore, like the Nightwing concept. Yeah. And, like, I think, I feel like I've seen Kryptonian.
Superman gave Nightwing,
Kryptonian Phoenix things. Like, I think it might be kind of a little of both.
It's certainly cool. Like the art here,
I'd hang it on my wall.
It's almost like not watercolor, but like splashes of paint, painting this dragon that fused with like this Phoenix form. We're just calling it that. I don't know if that's actually what it is of Supergirl, but that little pill that she got off some drug bum on the bus, definitely did not give her hallucinations. Yeah. It gave her something else.
What if this all was
just one big trip?
But I thought it was interesting that Tom King decided to, like, he gave just as much time and energy to this Space Phoenix battle as he did to the next two or three pages, which is just Supergirl teaching Ruth how to wash her hands.
Yes.
Because she comes from a world where, like, there were rock farmers. And, like, I think they even make a comment, like, you basically get you get to bathe yourself like once a month or something like that.
Yeah, and she was like always last. I actually have some thoughts on this sequence here. So basically there's like a little bit of a funny moment. Ruth comes out of the bathroom and she's like, I am unsure that I executed that correctly. I am unaccustomed to interior lavatories.
Yeah.
And she's like, there were four holes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of just an alien bathroom joke. But anyway, Supergirl is washing her hands. And she basically asked her, she's like, wait, have you not washed your hands this entire trip?
Because one thing that I've glossed over, all of these things that happened didn't necessarily happen all in one day.
No, like, we're like several months and weeks into a trip. And she's like, is that a necessity? And then it's kind of speaking to Supergirl's kindness here, but there's a lot of layers to this scene right here that I think are really important. So Supergirl says, come here. And there's these five panels of her teaching Ruth how to wash her hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some funny text in here about being careful to make sure it's actually soap and not acid because some people regrow their skin or whatever. But there, this picture in this sequence is kind of juxtaposed over as soon as she's done cleaning her hands after doing something dirty of her asking Superwoman, like, after your planet's tragedy, did you seek revenge for the death of your family? And Supergirl kind of stares at her for a while, and there's like some kind of monologue of the script of her asking, like, I don't know why I asked her that question, it just felt appropriate at the time. And she just said, no, I didn't. And she makes note of that, like the timbre and the tone of her voice, in that she heard regret in her voice, even though Supergirl is supposed to be, you know, sort of Superman and, you know, always taking the moral high ground and stuff like that. She heard something that she could only describe from her experiences that. But the metaphors of washing your hands clean after something bad is happening to you and passing on, and Supergirl teaching her how to do that act, but then hearing that regret and that remorse in Supergirl's voice was super interesting to me.
And then we move on and we see, like, there's more issues with personal space.
on the bus.
Yeah. But anyway.
We do see Supergirl kind of get her powers back right here naturally.
Because
she stops one of those instances of Ruth being taken advantage of.
If you notice in the background, the light that's shining in is yellow. Mm-hmm. And in the, when we turn the page, we see the shot of the bus bathed in the light of a yellow sun. And flashback to the kind of a moment right after Crypto got shot. And we see Supergirl rowing the injured dog across the water to find a healer. And the moment, like after going through all this, that Supergirl essentially agrees to help Ruth on her quest. And then we're back in the present where Ruth asks Supergirl, if, now that she has her powers back, if she can see the ship that they're in pursuit of. And Supergirl just kind of has this stoic look on her face and she's like floating. She says, yeah. I can see everything.
Yeah, it's a nice moment.
And that's
did you mention or I hear why she just agreed to help her?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking it has a little bit to do with, you know, seeing the injury to Crypto.
Well, that
but also
the person said she could heal Crypto if mm-hmm. she had the exact poison that was on the tip of the arrow.
Yeah.
So now she has a reason to go after Krim as well, mm-hmm. because if she can get this very specific poison that is kind of per whoever mixes it,
yeah.
She can save her dog. So finally kind of pushed her over the edge. I'm going to save the dog, save Ruth's family, or help Ruth get her
save revenge. The cheerleader, save the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's how this one ends. I think we might take a quick break to soothe our throats, and then we will get going again with issue 3 and 4.
We'll be right back. And we're back, and we're going to carry on with issues 3 and 4. I'm going to take the lead on these. So issue 3 and 4, they definitely feel, like Drew mentioned earlier, kind of like as a like a little mini vignette, kind mm-hmm. of looking into this travel. So they're still going on these travels, and they stop on this planet. It says they were on Karan for a while, and they're stopping on this planet called Maypole or Maypoli, maybe. I'm not sure. But there's these like short, kind of light blue-skinned people there.
Yeah.
Very alien-looking, but kind of humanoid. And they walk in to one of them who looks like a security guard. He's building a house of cards, and they're like, excuse me. He seems to be kind of ignoring them. He's just like, yeah, the bathroom's down the hall. Thank you. Have a nice day. And they have this kind of unpleasant exchange where he essentially, like, very quickly, he, like, loses patience and is like, I feel like I've given you enough. Have a good day.
Yeah.
And it's just overall a bad experience. But they've come to this planet trying to find Krim because they heard that he was arrested here recently, mm-hmm. like a month ago. Again, this story is taking time.
A long time, yeah.
Do I need to get closer here?
No, I was just moving it for myself.
For yourself? Okay. Yeah. So taking a long time, there's this funny exchange where she uses her breath, her icy breath to, it's the ice breath, right? To knock over his house cards? Or does she just have like incredible?
I mean, I think in that case, it was just a lot of wind power.
Yeah, cool. So they spend some time in this city in Maple or Maypoli. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. And they're just going around asking people, like, have you seen Krim? Do you know about this thing? And they keep having this similar kind of interaction, right? They go into this hotel, and the lady's like, oh, we're happy as peach pie to have you here. And then she, like, freaks out the very next question that was asked. It's like they have zero patience after information was given to say anything else. It's like, interpret what I mean immediately. And we kind of get this hint dropped that, like, no purples have ever stayed in your room.
Yeah,
and they're like, purples, what do you mean? So we have these blue skin people. We haven't seen any purple people, but now this purple is sitting there. But long story short, we kind of learned that there might be some like race comparisons being made here through this story of like these purple people who seem to be the oppressed and maybe the lower class. Anyway, they end up in this hotel room, and they're basically just go through this montage of like, we're looking for Krim of the Yellow Hills. And they're asking people, and everywhere they go, it's just like, not only we don't know where he's at, but also, you know, basically piss off, like, constantly. Like, they're just getting the cold shoulder, even in this diner. They're asking more and more, and then they start kind of inquisiting, like, where are all these purple people we keep kind of seeing allusions to and hearing about? And that's, like, upsetting the locals even more. And they get to this point where they're in their hotel, and then Ruth gets woken up by Supergirl, and she's like hushing her, like saying, and she says, they're almost here, or she says they're close. And then just gunfire, a single bullet comes in and Supergirl catches it right in front of Ruth's face. And then suddenly it's just like automatic weapons shooting into the room. what seems like for a long time, and Supergirl's trying to keep Ruth quiet, but she can't help but scream.
Yeah.
But there's like this kind of moment of like somebody protecting Ruth for the first time, and her feeling like the might of Supergirl being able to do this. And as soon as the fire stops, what seems like forever, Ruth makes note of like Supergirl asking her if she's okay, and then the feeling of like being scanned with X-ray vision for the mm-hmm. first time, just to make sure.
I've never heard somebody talk about actually having a feel for that, like actually feeling like
it
something.
It is interesting. I hadn't heard that mm-hmm. either. And then basically Supergirl makes her promise, like, you stay here. And then we just see like this silhouette of the hotel they're in up against the mm-hmm. city sky, and then a crash, and Supergirl blaze out of it like she's going to go get who did this. So we fast forward, and they're talking with the mayor, and she captured it, and you see that this is like from the top coming all the way to the bottom. Just these blue people are kind of terrible people.
Yeah.
And she kind of loses her patience with him and crashes his desk. And for the first time, she picks up Ruth, realizing they kind of have a mission to go on, and takes her to fly. Mm-hmm. And while they're flying, it's obvious that Supergirl's kind of scanning for something. And when she finds what she's looking for, she finds essentially like this graveyard of just all these purple people that were put to this place called Purple Town. And we learn pretty quickly after she goes back to the mayor to confront him, and he attacks her, and this crazy scene of her like getting shot in the eye and the bullet just kind of like just hitting her eye. It's basically might as well have been an eyelash in her eye.
Yeah.
She kind of flicks it off. We learn about these people called the Brigands, who I didn't quite pick up how they actually like fit into this town, but I guess they're just like a group of like, I don't know if they're mercenaries or they're just like, it's just bad people that happened to come through and were kind of like collecting their bounties and their debts or like what their taxes or whatever on the blue people. And during this time, Krim, who was imprisoned, as they had heard, basically got in their ear and said that there's a solution to everybody's problems here. You guys can get your money, but everybody can make me a cut, and I'll get rid of all these purple people that you claim are gobbling up all your resources so you can't pay. So Krim, becoming even more scum of the earth mm-hmm. or scum of the galaxy, ends up teaming up with the Brigand and basically wiping out all the purple people in Purple Town.
Yeah.
And we get this closing of this issue of Ruth like learning this information and just being like, I can't fathom it. These people were so kind. They seem to be like good people, and he just wiped them out. So she's like learning about just more of this travesty that this mm-hmm. person who already killed her father did. And it's just kind of like the weight of the world is finally sitting on her, and just how big and far reaching and expansive this seemingly small thing has done, all because maybe she's feeling guilt because Krim got on this spaceship to leave the planet.
Yeah.
And more terror has happened, and if she would have just kind of accepted it, maybe he would still be there not doing that. And then the episode or the issue ends here.
Yeah.
Moving on to issue 4, the last one we will be covering today. Oops, back on those pages. Okay, so this final one is another kind of quick vignette, but we now have like a trail of more than just Krim to follow. We're following the Brigand, and we go through all of these moments of them just kind of, they're just like on the trail of them, but like one step too slow, where they keep missing Krim and the Brigand, and they're just in this wake of destruction. Like the opening scene, there's like this baby alien who's like all of his people have been killed, and Supergirl picks him up and is like, it's going to be okay. We get to this place where she's literally like hand feeding somebody who had been injured in this thing when everybody else had died. And then
he tells the story.
He's telling the story of, again, Krim just destroying their people. He's turning out to be a really bad guy, and it's more of the same thing. He's stabbing people, he's hurting them and leaving them to die. And then there's like, throughout all this chaos, there's these nice touching moments, which Drew kind of mentioned off screen earlier, like kind of leans into showing that humanity that Superman has had in the past, and it seems like is a theme with Supergirl as well, just always being a beacon of hope. And there's this alien man, he seems like an older man, and he's just digging graves. I mean, it's countless graves. And they come up to him and they're like, ask him about it. And he's like, yeah, I've spent, you know, so much time doing this, and I've got to get it done because I know my daughter's in there somewhere. And if I don't have enough graves for everybody by some time, there's a chance that the leftovers are just going to be mass burned. And it destroys me to know that I might not have a place to visit my daughter, even if I don't know which one is hers, at least having some place general. So this like obviously like rips into the core of Supergirl. She's like, please, can I help? And he's like, I feel like this is my responsibility. She's like, I understand that, but please, like, I can help you. And then she does this incredible where it's just like a red and blue blur, and mm-hmm. she digs all of them and buries them. And then also listed, I also used my vision to look at your DNA while I was doing that, and I found your daughter. Once we're done getting your stamp of approval, these were done, right? So you don't get in trouble. I'll show you where she's at. So
yeah.
There's a very next scene. They're on this planet, and there's like a giant alien-looking woman, mm-hmm. and Supergirl looks like they're about to fight in a getting really extreme, and she's like taunting her. She's like, just hit me. What are you scared of? Which is not like we've seen Supergirl yeah. before. She's taunting her. And the alien is like, I'm not scared. You don't understand. You are small and I am large. This will kill you. She doesn't know about Supergirl yeah. and her power. She finally gets her to do it, and we realized it was Supergirl helping her finally break loose, free from some like very pent up emotions and stress and anger that she's had.
Yeah.
Again, from her people being devastated by Krim and the brigade or brigand. Moving on, we get another moment with Ruth and Supergirl outside of this kind of tower. And yeah. as we're getting closer, like maybe a few less steps away from Krim, Supergirl's trying to shield Ruth. It seems a little bit more, not letting her come into all the buildings while Supergirl goes in to investigate. And Ruth,
like, there's things you can't unsee,
right?
That sort of a thing.
You know, there's this air of like almost like a big sister feeling, and she's aware. Like Ruth is, it may not have been obvious from what we said. She's still very young. Like, mm-hmm. she's not like a woman. At least I didn't get that presence. More of a teenager, probably.
Yeah,
and Ruth's kind of not understanding like a teenager would, and just waits outside and falls asleep. And, you know, Supergirl comes out at one point, and she just looks like completely shocked at what she's just witnessed.
Yeah.
And taken aback. So you can, and we don't ever see, but you can only imagine that Supergirl probably made the right call in keeping mm-hmm. Ruth outside. We get a few more instances of them just following the trail and, you know, taking out one or two of the brigand here and there that have like stayed behind to monitor things. But they finally get to. Actually, was this part right here important? Is this just her, like, repowering here?
I mean, it's just
here?
Like all of this is weighing on Supergirl,
right.
And she gets to the point where she's just like, "Wait here." And it's kind of like she's essentially flying out of the atmosphere and just plunges herself into a sun, so she can just like wallow in it and scream, and you know,
right.
not you know, because if she were to truly let loose and scream on a planet, it could possibly.
That was a nice touch. Nice. I forgot about that. They do. So again, we figure out through reading these scripts and this inner monologue that Ruth has all the time that she has a different take on what Supergirl is actually doing with all of her might and her power, mm-hmm. and that her true power is holding back
yeah.
in all of this, the rage and the power and the heat and just the strength yeah. and raw emotion that she is stopping those so she doesn't hurt somebody yeah. at every constant
it's
moment
like,
of her life.
Yeah, I think she basically says it, her strength isn't that when she needs to, she can be super powerful and use her heat vision. It's mm-hmm. the real strength is the fact that when she's around people she loves, she is using all of her strength to hold it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there is this devastating moment. She goes and just literally lays in the sun and she's just weeping at all yeah. this path of just horrible destruction. And also just the strength she's having to maintain to keep Ruth mm-hmm. from really experiencing what she is. So we get to this last planet, and it's kind of a fungal, foresty-looking planet a little bit with some very beautiful colors. The art's great here.
Yeah.
And Ruth and Supergirl are just sitting amongst this hilltop, and Supergirl kind of breaks to her. She's like, I'm pretty confident that after this trail and the patterns we're seeing, the next planet we go to, we're going to find him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sending you home now.
Yeah.
She can't take the weight anymore of watching after Ruth and shielding her. It's like kind of really getting to her. And she just thinks that, like, again, we bring it up, like, you're a girl, you're a young person, you just don't need to witness all this. And Ruth's kind of countering, like, you were a girl, you know, you were fine, you know, how do I interact with this? And basically this exchange happens to where she finally sees that Ruth's not going to give up, and she picks Ruth up and puts her on her back, and they fly off into space to the next planet. And end of issue.
Yeah. So I haven't read Beyond yet. I keep meaning to, but whenever I realized we'd only have time to record like one episode today,
yeah.
I was like, I'll go ahead and be ignorant of what happens in the next four issues so that I don't give anything away during this. Sure. But yeah, I am curious to see what's going to happen whenever they catch up with Krim. Is Supergirl going to actually kill this dude? Or
yeah, because remember, we've had this theme of her saying, don't kill people. Yeah, you know,
it's bad.
You need to find justice and not vengeance or revenge. You know, but this whole adventure is kind of weighing on both of them and their relationship in ways that maybe are unexpected, and now it's personal with Crypto, and you know, so very curious to see how this develops in the last four issues.
Yep.
Which I'm sure we'll cover in next week or something like that. Thoughts on this first little bit? Any other thoughts?
For some reason, I didn't read it when it first came out. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I was like, I'll just wait till it gets on DC Universe. That might have been my thinking, but no, it's nice. And I like that it's just eight issues.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not a heavy commitment. Don't know what the lasting impact of this storyline will be on the DC proper. but no, I enjoy it. It's cool to just kind of see what Supergirl does whenever she's around a bunch of people who don't really know anything about her, you know, still sticking to her personal code.
Right. You know? Yeah. It's, these types of super people stories are interesting to me. Early podcast episodes, you probably heard me being critical of Superman, more of just, I hadn't read the right stuff to really make Superman interesting for me. But it seems like this would have also worked more or less with Superman. I think this story, you know, there's some extra layers with it being Supergirl, you know, having a young girl with her and the challenges that ensues. But, these work for me way more than some other super stuff that I've seen, just in finding that strength, those moments, despite all the superness, to like help somebody, you know, using your superpowers to dig 200,000 graves in a split second so that this man can find his daughter and have some sort of peace. Those are the humanity of a Supergirl or a Superman is more interesting to me there.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you have some trivia ready?
Sure. So this will be, since we know that this is only a 8-issue series, we will have one more trivia after this. So this will actually be a Supergirl trivia series.
Whoop, whoop.
So let's jump over to the lightning round trivia, where the questions are faster than...
Supergirl dug all those graves for that guy.
I wasn't going to go with that since you just mentioned it. I was going to go maybe fruit. Since Supergirl picked a bullet out of her eye like it was no more than an eyelash.
Yeah, that was a good moment. Pretty cool art. You want to go first?
Sure. Well, I guess my question is just going to be, do you know the name of Supergirl's hometown back on Krypton?
Let's see. I'm assuming it was named back in the day when they were basically putting Crypto and everything.
I actually don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Her hometown on the world of Krypton was Kryptofornia.
I like that better.
Yeah.
No, it was Argo City.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't know the significance.
Read that at some point, but I don't know where. Mm-hmm. Cool. No points for me. This one you'll probably get, but I feel like it's a fun fact enough for the question, so I'll leave it in. Who is older, Superman or Supergirl?
Technically Supergirl.
She is older.
Yeah, just because even though she was stuck in suspended animation, she was a teenager when Krypton exploded, whereas Superman was a baby.
That is true. Yeah, so Supergirl is older.
When she landed on Earth,
quite a bit older cousin of Superman.
She was like 16.
Yeah.
So even though she is younger in terms of what they look like on Earth,
right?
She is older, and like if you were to cut their arms off and count the rings,
I did. That's how I got this question.
Actually, no, that would still be wrong. Because Supergirl was frozen. But yes, Supergirl is older.
Yeah. Good job. 1 point for you.
Yay!
Cool. Any closing thoughts? You know, we didn't plug any of our social media stuff.
Hey, let's do it now.
Let's do it now. Where can they find us?
You can find us on the Twitter at Two Man Comic Book with the number 2. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, Two Man Comic Book Club. Shoot us an email, twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com. Most importantly, join the Discord, link down in the show notes. Interact with us about things. That's where you can find us chatting about Alex and Drew Rank the MCU, where we are systematically working our way through everything in release order. I believe we're up to Black Panther, but we haven't watched that one yet.
Coming soon, probably next week.
I can't remember if there's anything else we need to plug.
Check us out on YouTube. We're putting some shorts up there.
Yes.
We're going to be doing some longer form content up there very soon as well. Trying to grow that part of the two-man business. And like and subscribe. Leave comments wherever you can get our podcast. You can find me at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman. Okay. Alex Wayne Miller anywhere on your social media. What about you?
You can find ways to reach out to me through www.drewmorrismusic.com.
That's been it. We will see you next time on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast. Bye.
Oh, crap.
Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
That's right. We were here all along. Bye.